So, I haven't done this before in front of you guys, North Park. I'm Brian White, if you don't know me. I got a call or a text last night. I'm sitting at home watching the football game, which I usually do when the playoffs are on. And I was talking to my son, Brandon, about how it was weird that I was feeling better because I had a bad headache this week, a couple days in a row. And I said, yeah, it must have been, because we went out for pizza before the football game, after my daughter's game. We went out for pizza. And I walk in this pizza joint. It was called Clay Von's, south of Jackson. Sweet place. We walk in, and there's TVs everywhere, and there's basketball games going on. And we're walking to our table, and this lady's pouring up Mountain Dew. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And they sell all sorts of drinks, whatever, but that Mountain Dew looks so good to me. So we had our pizza, drink a couple Mountain Dews, get home. I said, man, Brandon, I'm feeling better. I don't know why. I think it was caffeine. I think I needed a couple of those Mountain Dews. I mean, I really did. I'm thinking that. He goes, well, Dad, you've been drinking coffee since you got up this morning. You've had two pots with me already. It's not the caffeine. Okay, Lord, I'm better. So I could come here and do this. So I'm sitting there watching the game, and we get a group text. No, let me go back. Who's friends with me on Facebook? Anybody here? You guys are welcome to be my friend on Facebook, if you're on Facebook. So I post this. I want to share this with you. This is how it worked last night when I got the call. All right, I'm shaking, so bear with me. Oh, man, now my smartphone's outsmarting me. I can't find my pictures. Oh, yeah, okay, I got it. All right. Come on, back up. This is how it went. I don't know if you guys remember Vince, who used to go here. His granddaughter, Rebecca, used to run the golf course up there. She shared a post, and I was reading it, and I said, I got to share this on Facebook. And if you guys read this, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do it again here. Imagine you're holding a cup of coffee, and someone comes along and bumps you, and the coffee spills all over you. I'm going to paraphrase this instead of reading it. And the coffee spills, and you're, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Well, of course, it's the guy who bumps you, right? You know, you bumps coffee all over you. But it goes on to say, no, it's not, it's the coffee's fault. It's what you have in your cup that spilled. If you had tea in your cup, it would be tea that spilled all over. I'm reading that going, yeah, and it goes on to say that you're a cup, and as your world goes on, you get run into bad situations, bumps in the road, what spills out of you? And I can tell you, this week was one of those weeks with the headaches and the work and the cold weather and shorthandedness at Family Auto. What was spilling out of me was not happiness and joy. Ask my wife. She got mad at me. She gets mad at me. It's been more than this week. She'll say it's been the last 10 years. And it caught my attention. And as I'm doing this and sharing on Facebook, I get a group text from Anita or Mr. Witteveen saying, Pastor Paul's sick, we need help. And, you know, being an elder, I'm going, oh boy, I'm an elder, I should volunteer. Somebody pops up, I think it was Mr. Stapert, says, call Rick Chambers. Don't reply, don't say nothing, let's just wait. Well, they couldn't get a hold of Rick Chambers, so I didn't know that yet, so I fired. I said, well, I'll help out if you need me to. And Nita comes back and says, well, you can be plan C, because Chris had a plan B. I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm more of a plan E, please. My phone rings. I'm sitting there. The game's on. My headache's gone. Mr. Witteveen's calling. I was his plan B, maybe, or we were his plan B. So that's how I got here this morning. And what I was thinking about was, I work with this man named Tom, and I'll get choked up here probably. He's been here, I'm getting choked up. He's been here in worship with us a couple weeks ago. And we took him out for a nice dinner for Christmas party after worship. We went and had a buffet, and his wife was here, Darcy. And she wasn't feeling good. She just really didn't feel good. So but she made it through the afternoon, and it was nice. We came home, but then a couple days later at work, Tom says, they sent my wife to the emergency room from work because she was turning yellow. Turning yellow? Yeah, so she goes down there, and make a long story short real quick, she was diagnosed this week with pancreatic cancer. She comes into the shop, and I'm having a bad week. You know, the bumps and anger and bitterness is spilling out of my cup. She comes in with solid gold spilling out of that cup. God has a plan for me, Brian. If he decides to take me now, joy. It'll be better than what I'm putting up with here. But if I don't, and the prognosis is wrong, then he's got a plan for me down here. If that's not solid gold spilling out of a cup, and that's what I'm thinking about when Chris called me. So here I am. Now, Chris asked me to read the lectionary. And that's what Pastor Paul's been working on. You know, read your Bible. Know your scripture. That's why there's no Bibles in the pew. I disagree with that, but that's why there's no Bibles in the pew. Know your Bible. I agree with that. He's right. So, I didn't know what lectionary was. I really don't. I don't use that word. And I made some notes here. I Googled it afterwards. So I got to find out what this is. And epiphany. I had no idea what that is. We don't talk those languages in my house. So when I Googled it, Webster's Dictionary, lectionary, a sequence or list of lections to be read in church services during the year. An election is a liturgical reading for a particular day. And it was the word lection comes from the year 1608. That's the first time anybody in the ancients started using that word, 1608. So now I'm thinking, well, we don't talk about lections in our house ever. Elections maybe, but not lections or lectionaries. And in Webster's Dictionary, it has I don't know if you ever looked at it. It says, words used in 1608. Click here just to see what's happening. So I had to do that. And these are some of the words. Amphibious, flawed, these are brand new words of 1608, innovative, neural, and these are only like 10 of them, but there's like 100 of them, raccoon, traction, and willy-nilly. Reminded me of a commercial I seen during the football games. But I don't think it's willy-nilly, I think it's something else. And so then I took epiphany and had to read what that meant. And it came up with, the first definition was exactly what that video just showed. It's about I'll read it. It's a church festival commemorating the coming of the Magi as first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. Or the Eastern Church, the baptism of Christ. That's what the dictionary says. And there's another thing. It says, appearance or manifestation, especially of a divine being. The third is sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something. Illuminating discovery or realization. An epiphany, I found out, Chris helped me with this, is the aha moment. I get it now. I see. And I didn't know that. So I'm going to use a new word now. Epiphany. And the scripture we're going to read, I got more. Not this, but I'm going to read you a story. Start to begin. We got a little time. No. This is what my mom got me in 2001. It's the Matthew Henry's commentary. Matthew Henry's commentary. So when Chris gave me the scripture to read today, I like going to this guy because he can take two verses and turn it into, well, let me just show you. He's got, if you can see this writing, there's three columns and about a quarter size print than what's in the Bible. So if you took the Bible and the print that it's made in that size, this thing would probably stack up like this for the words that are in here. This Matthew Henry commentates and gives his ideas on what this says. And talk about solid gold. I like this guy. He thinks straight. So, the scripture we're going to read first. Oh, yeah, get this. So I'm sitting there and not answering the phone when Chris is calling. And I go, Mr. Whitaving, I said, yeah, he probably wants me to help him with church. And Sarah says, what are you going to do, Dad? Preach on Genesis 1? That's my favorite verse ever. If you're going to talk to somebody about Jesus, you start with Genesis 1, because I can tell you, every man, woman, and child at some point in time thinks about, where did this come from? What are we doing here? So I love Genesis 1. That's the beginning of the gospel. So that's what she says. Chris is telling me the scriptures, and he says, the first one I want you to read, Brian, is Genesis 1. Yeah, okay. Hey, Sarah, hold on, Chris. Guess what Chris wants me to read tomorrow? True story. I had an epiphany that God has a plan for us. I don't know if you guys know this. You don't have to stand up for this reading because Paul has a stand up. I'm going to be reading a lot, so you just stay sitting. If you have a Bible with you, it's Genesis 1, 1 through 5. And it starts with, oh, I got notes. Hold on. I've got some notes here. Not too much, just some interesting stuff I thought about with the help of Matthew Henry. If I can find it. Right there, yeah. Genesis 1, 1 through 5, the lectionary of the Epiphany. They want us to start here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You start with that, and you're spilling out solid gold. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. This guy says that in ancient Hebrew writings, it was tohu and bohu for the without form and void. Without form and void, the words were that, which means confusion and emptiness. But the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Now, if you think about this and really ponder it, you could be here, or you could, I mean, this is years worth of sermons right here. The first day. And when you're out in the marketplace or in the workforce, in school, and you say God created the heavens and the earth, there's nobody that's going to come up with a different explanation. They're going to say science, and I've heard it. Science doesn't say that. Science, you can't put that with science. Science shows there's a Big Bang thing that went on over here. Well, there was a Big Bang thing that went on over here, and that's the good Lord Almighty spoke it into being. He made light in darkness on the first day. And when I thought of that the first time, years ago, I'm thinking the sun separating day and night. That's not what it was. That didn't come till day four. He took light and darkness. And every man, and we can see it in the movies today. We've got a Star Trek movie with light and darkness. It's true. We know that. There is light and darkness in this world. But God is the creator of light to shine in the darkness that was already there. He created light for us. But we're not to be afraid of the darkness. We have light and darkness under God's control. We rest at night. That's the first day. First reading. I went way too far than what I was supposed to do. I was only supposed to be reading here. And I told Chris, I told him, I said, if you put me up here to read, I'm going to start talking what I think. He says, it's okay, you're an elder. Thank you, Chris. So I apologize, but I do this. Okay, Psalm 29 is our next reading. And in Psalm 29, Matthew Henry says the ancients, think that David wrote this during a thunderstorm, a mighty thunderstorm. And it makes sense when you read this. So I'm going to read this. Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox. And I think Syrian is a mountain. That's what that is. It's a mountain skipping, if you can picture that by God's voice. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. With peace. And then our next reading is Acts 19, 1 through 7. And Acts 19, 1 through 7 is about the Apostle Paul going through the town of Ephesus, and there's some disciples there, and they were disciples of the John the Baptist, let's say. Acts 19, 1 through 7. And it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, and Apollos was a man that at first baptized as John the Baptist baptized. And he was set straight later on and baptized through Jesus Christ and not through the repentance of people's works. And he was in Corinth. And Paul passed through the inland country of Ephesus and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, now picture this, okay? When Paul has laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. That's it right there. And there were about 12 men in all. So 12 of them. And I think about this, and there's 12 guys that are disciples. They're doing their thing in Ephesus, which is a good thing, preaching repentance, turning and doing good works instead of what they were doing. For the remittance of sins. It's washing away their sins. They're baptized in the water. That's what they did in the Old Testament. And then when Paul shows up, they're willing to listen to Paul, not be stubborn, you know, like men that say there is no God and the science is what creates the earth or whatever, evolution. These guys were willing to listen to Paul, and they were baptized. And from that baptism of Jesus Christ, they received the Holy Spirit, just as we have the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. This is truly amazing what happened here. How willing they were to listen, put their pride down, and be baptized in Jesus Christ. And then our last reading, Mark 1, 4 through 11. John appeared in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan. All the people. countryside to the big city of Jerusalem, came to repent, get baptized by John the Baptist. Their hearts were in the right place. They knew something was happening. John was saying the right things. Well, you know what else? I got to go off the track here real quick. I'm sorry. But this is the lectionary thing or whatever. You know, we're reading the scriptures and we don't have the Bibles, and this is at the beginning when Paul started this whole deal. And I get the emails, and I'm reading the scriptures we're supposed to for the week. So I read them through, and it was a psalm was in there about how God looks at Jerusalem and puts it on a hill. It's a light to the world. He takes care of his people. Jerusalem is going to be anointed among the nations and blah, 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 whatever it said. Okay? Good stuff. That week on the radio, I hear that Donald Trump says, well, the United States is going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which is like the first time they've done that in a long time, maybe. It's like, duh. But that's how the Word comes alive, when we know the Word and we read the Word through the week. That's what Pastor Paul wants us to do here. So that was just a side note. All the people came to be baptized. All the people. I'm not sure we'd get all the people to do anything in this country. I mean, even the football games ain't all the people. Even voting ain't all the people. I could say one thing, all the people complain a lot. You know? I don't know what else all the people do here in our country. Eat well, sleep well, maybe. Being baptized in the River Jordan. Confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and ate locusts and wild honey. All right, picture this guy in our world. Who is this guy that all the people are going to come and see? I mean, he isn't wearing the crown jewels. He's not eating the fatted calf. He's eating bugs, and he's wearing camel hair, which is probably a little itchy, I would say. Not soft, not silky. But the people are going there and listening to this guy. So pay attention to the people in our world that are talking the right stuff, no matter what they look like. That's what I think. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. The epiphany is right there. Not sure what I'm supposed to do next. I don't remember. Pray. Yeah. All right. I won't read the book. I'll pray. Lord, you give us everything we need. And yet, I still complain. Help me and others to fill our cups full of joy and hope so that we can go through this life and people ask us, What do you have? I want some of that. And we can give them an epiphany of you. Amen. I got to read something too. I forgot this. This is another one of these pictures. Just a second here. I'll get it. This is from the Message, because earlier in the week when Darcy, Tom's wife, came in the shop, and I heard on the radio station about be ready to give an account of the hope that you have in you. And that stuck with me. And then when I read that Facebook post yesterday, it came up again. So I got on Bible Gateway and looked it up under the Message. And I want to read this to you real quick before I go sit down. And then we're going to sing a song, which is a cool song. But this is it. This is from, I think, I don't even remember where it's from. Peter, I think, 2 Peter. If with heart and soul you're doing good, do you think you can be stopped? even if you suffer for it, you're still better off. Don't give the opposition a second thought. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention, in adoration before Christ, your Master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks you why you're living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy. Keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. It's better to suffer for doing good if that's what God wants than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did, definitely. Suffered because of other sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God. Okay, thank you.